How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team, every day.
Hello and welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast with the Reigning Jays. I'm Jay King from MassLive.com, joined today by Sam Jam Packard from WEEI. We got a nice little rundown of things to talk about. Not really. It's preseason, the end of preseason, so we've already reacted to most things that will matter the most. Today we're going to get to something that will matter a little bit, but probably won't have a huge impact on what the Celtics do during the regular season, and that is the battle for the final roster spot. James Young, RJ Hunter, whoever else might be in the mix, the competition for that, we're going to get into that. We're going to talk about a couple of rumors going out there. One's not even a rumor. It's just Isaiah Thomas saying that, yes, it would be cool if DeMarcus Cousins were on the Celtics. There was another rumor from Jackie McMullen who said that LaMarcus Aldridge might not finish the season with the Spurs. And she didn't really link Aldridge to the Celtics, but obviously when a star shakes free, the Celtics, they're either...
Got to ask the question.
We just got to ask it. And then we're going to talk a little bit about some Celtics fashion. The Celtics held the Shamrock Gala tonight, and there were some strange fashion choices. James Young looked like Mozart, according to Amir Johnson. Kelly Olynyk wore a backward hat, which, classic Kelly Olynyk. So we'll talk a little bit about the fashion, and we'll talk about a few other things, because we always go off on little rants. So we're going to start with the 15th roster spot, though. So, Sam, who do you think the Celtics should move, whether it's cutting, trading? Who's gone to you?
I think the Celtics should trade James Young. I know, so intriguing. To me, it comes down to four players: Young, Hunter, Mickey, and Gerald Green. Going to rule out Gerald Green because it seems absurd that they would kind of bring him in. And if I feel like if I said Gerald Green, you would jump all down my throat, because I think you're a pretty big Gerald Green fan.
I'm not a big Gerald Green fan. I just think he can get you buckets in an actual NBA game. I'm not convinced Hunter or Young can. And they haven't shown me, even when they've had stretches during the preseason. I don't believe they can do it in a real game. So that's with Gerald Green.
I would agree with you, and I definitely hear the kind of the danger card argument of the contracts and having greater control over Hunter and Young. But at the end of the day, if you're going to keep someone on the roster, you're keeping them on for in case something goes badly, these guys need to contribute. And right now, RJ Hunter, although he struggled with his shot, and although he did pull up from 30 feet last night,
it might have been more than 30.
It was absurd. And so you can see the kind of, he has his moments. He's a better decision maker. It feels like he has a better basketball brain, whereas he eventually can be molded into something, maybe the kind of end of the bench rotation guy. But I don't know. And to me, it's a crapshoot at this point. I'm just James Young's been around for longer and hasn't done anything, so I'm kind of sick of seeing him in his silly haircuts.
Okay, so this is going to be a question that probably doesn't matter at all, and now we are getting into the race for the race for the final roster spot. Why is Jordan Mickey in your four, but Demetrius Jackson is not?
That's a good question. I wasn't really thinking about it. Demetrius Jackson feels like the type of person where he's just immediately going to be on the D-League team. And I'm not the person who knows exactly how the mechanics of the D-League contract work, but it feels like he's more of a playmaker and they don't have as much depth at specifically point guard. I'm not the biggest believer in, I guess, Marcus Smart and Terry Rozier's only being your backup point guards. I just don't think I think they'd rather have someone else in tow. Jordan Mickey really hasn't done much other than those couple of moments he had last year, but I was not too impressed with him in summer league. And I think they have plenty of their kind of bigs, at least in the rotation, that he wouldn't really, I don't know. At this point, it's a crapshoot. They're all kind of like equal levels. And I could see Mickey maybe fetching more on the trade market. And I think that's how Danny Ainge said he'd rather make spaces by trading some of these players. I was just thinking that they could weigh all of their options and whoever like kind of gets back the most second round picks, that's who they'll go with.
Yeah, and the thing, what's tough about it, and obviously we're talking about 15th man and somebody who's probably not going to make a difference this year, might not make a difference any year, but what's tough about it is you have to make a decision on these guys so early in their careers. RJ Hunter has played one season. He's hardly played any minutes at all. James Young has been in Boston for two seasons, but how much of a chance has he gotten?
And he's 21 years old. Like, he's a young dude.
And Jordan Mickey, same thing. Like, he was stuck behind five or six established big guys last season, and it's going to be the same thing this year. So you're making decisions on these guys based on super small sample sizes and kind of extrapolating what they can be moving forward. I think James Young, I still think he'd be the guy that I try to move because, like you said, Hunter just has a better feel for basketball. And I'm not sold that James Young will maximize the advantages he has against Hunter, which is size, probably strength, maybe even shooting at this point. He might be a better shooter. But I just think Hunter has more ball skills, and that's why I would tend to lean toward him. He's just a more skilled, more aware player. And I think the race is probably closer than I thought it would be, and I give Young credit for that. Hunter's had his moments. Even Mickey's had a couple of moments, especially like late in games, fourth quarters of blowout preseason games, I guess, but still. So, yeah, it's kind of a close race, and we'll see what happens. I think they'll probably try to move James Young, but like you said, maybe if someone else can fetch a better second-round pick or even a second-round pick, you move the guy who gets the higher return. So we'll
now see. Let me throw this curveball at you. If it was not a consideration of money, it was just trying to get the 15 best players on your roster. If you're Danny Ainge, do you consider cutting Tyler Zeller?
No.
No. You really think he's like that productive? I know he had that insane Mutombo-esque block party the other night, but he really has been, I just don't have a better way to put it, dog shit so far in this preseason. And if you kind of want to focus on this player development and having, I don't see like him making the biggest contribution this season. And I'll probably take that back after he has like three good games in a row in like December. But right now, it doesn't seem like there's going to be a place for him, especially after Kelly Olynyk comes back and there's another big in that front court rotation.
Yeah, but I mean, maybe that's true. Maybe he doesn't get many minutes, but all it takes is a couple injuries. He's right back in the rotation. He is a better big man than James Young is a small forward or a shooting guard or whatever you want to call James Young. He's just better. So 15 guys. Yes, he's definitely on there. He hasn't been good this preseason. He wasn't particularly good last season. 2 years ago, he was a starter for a playoff team. He was not bad. Like, he wasn't a great center. He wasn't at all.
He started 59 games. I'm looking at his basketball reference right now. That's absurd.
Yeah, so no, absolutely not. he would not in any world get cut if you can only take 15 of the 15 best players, regardless of contract. And then he has the $8 million disappearing contract for next season, which could be a trade asset. So Tyler Zeller, poor Tyler Zeller, man. He's gotten a lot of the blame. Not a lot of the blame, because who even bothers to blame Tyler Zeller? But he's had a rough go of it since last year when he was taken out of the starting lineup very early in the season. Poor Tyler Zeller, man. I say that a lot on this podcast. Poor.
I feel like it's a recurring theme of just, come on, Tyler Zeller. That's kind of the reason why I wanted to cut him, just so maybe he would get a chance with another team. You know, it seems like here he's just kind of just internally frustrated.
You are not a Tyler Zeller guy. All right, moving on to another player who's certainly not Tyler Zeller, DeMarcus Cousins. Now, I almost didn't even want to address this story because it seemed like a writer just approached Isaiah Thomas and said, hey, would you like to have DeMarcus Cousins on your team? And he was like, yeah, sure, that'd be cool. That's not worthy of a story. like I wrote about it because, sure, he said it. But if that's how the conversation went, and Mitch Lawrence went up to Isaiah Thomas and said, Isaiah, would you like your former teammate, who's also an all-star and all-NBA guy, would you like him on your team? To me, like, of course he's going to say yes. What the hell else is he going to say? No,
now, Jay,
I don't want
Jay,
DeMarcus Cousins. He's a jackass.
You can't say it's not worthy of a story and then say you also wrote about it. I feel like those are two opposing.
No. Once he says the comments, they're out there. But if that's how it went with Mitch Lawrence, the guy who actually reported the story, and he just went up to Isaiah Thomas and said, do you want to play with DeMarcus Cousins? And he said, sure. That's not a story. I don't know how their conversation went, but from reading the story, it kind of looked like it went like that. Now, if Isaiah Thomas is talking about something else, and he tells Mitch Lawrence, you know that DeMarcus Cousins guy, he would look really good here, then that's a story. That's definitely a story. But I don't know. Yeah, so I did write about it. You're right. But that was once the comment was out there.
It's not something you would ask Isaiah Thomas about. You're not just going to ask him how he feels about a specific player. It's like, hey, Isaiah, how do you think Kevin Durant would fit on this team?
Yeah, he'd look okay, man.
But, he'd be pretty good.
Okay, but anyway, let's move on from that because the story is out there. I did write about the story, and now we're talking about it. So the story has a lot of shine. Would you want DeMarcus Cousins on the Celtics?
Sure, why not? I mean, if we're doing
because
the
he is a jackass.
Oh, yeah. But I think if it's the type of environment where his jackassery wouldn't be able to run wild. I feel like in Sacramento, since he is the only thing basically keeping that franchise afloat right now.
No, he might be the only thing tearing it apart.
But he's the only reason they will win any basketball games this year. Like, if they have any hope for the future, it's based on DeMarcus Cousins. So he has more free reign to kind of do whatever he wants. I feel like in Boston, there's this kind of institutional strength and organizational kind of just not in allowing for that kind of that BS. And it doesn't feel like that's something Stevens and Ainge would allow. And the type of players that are in the locker room right now in terms of Thomas, Crowder, and Horford, it just doesn't seem like that they would let that fly in their locker room.
Maybe, but I will say this. DeMarcus Cousins gets more excuses made for him than anyone. Granted, he is a fantastic talent. He is huge. He can put the ball on the floor. He gets rebounds when he wants to. When he is engaged, he is a plus defender. I mean, that guy, when he wants to be, he is a real difference maker. Everyone makes excuses for him. He has gone through several coaches. He has had problems with every single one of them. He has gone through multiple owners. He has had problems during both of those stints. Like, everyone talks about the franchise instability there. The only constant through all of the Kings' BS is DeMarcus Cousins.
Well, no, because there's also franchise instability has been a constant throughout their whole BS. I mean, the story just came out the other day that Vivek Radanovic only owns like, what, like 15% of the team, and they have like 37 minority owners who all feel like they have a say. I agree with you that he gets a lot of excuses made for him, but it's really hard to separate him from the situation he is in which the Kings are just a total crap franchise. And you're right. That shouldn't be an excuse for him being such a jackass, but it's really hard to separate the two because you don't know if him being a jackass causes more instability or instability causes him being a jackass. It's
probably a little bit of both. And maybe the Celtics would have enough of a support system, enough of a culture that he would change. And Isaiah Thomas, you know, in that piece, he said, I can get through to DeMarcus Cousins. Well, Cousins was a jerk when Isaiah Thomas was in Sacramento, too. Maybe not so much of a jerk, because that was kind of when he meshed with Mike Malone. But it's not like that guy has ever gotten along with any coach or any teammate. He's had problems all along. I don't know. And I'm able to look at it and realize, okay, yes. Yes, the Celtics absolutely need a player with the talent of DeMarcus Cousins. They are not ready to contend for a championship without legitimate luck, whether that's LeBron James going down, the Warriors not living up to expectations, Terry Rozier developing into like MVP candidate, whatever. It would take serious luck for them to contend for a title with the current roster. They need someone like DeMarcus Cousins. But to me, you would have to trade so much to get him, and it would be a huge risk because you don't know how he's going to impact everything. You don't know if his behavior will change. Like, yes, you can think, okay, he is going to change in a new environment. He will become a different person. He will become a helpful person in a new environment. But in the end, that's a huge risk. And what Danny Ainge has done throughout the whole rebuilding process is try to stay away from risks. He has turned down trade offers because he doesn't want to risk everything he's built. If you trade for DeMarcus Cousins, you're going to have to give up that Brooklyn Nets pick, which might be a top three pick. You're going to have to give up Jaylen Brown. You're going to have to give up something very, very valuable. And for a guy who has never shown that he can consistently be a good person and try at basketball. So I think it's too much of a risk. And I get why people disagree with me. Obviously, Cousins is a beast. Like, when he wants to be, he's awesome. He is a fantastic, awesome basketball player. I just think it's a risk, and maybe too big a risk. Like, going after Kevin Durant, that's a no-brainer. Going after even Blake Griffin, I think, like, he's had issues with team managers and stuff like that, but he seems a lot easier to deal with than DeMarcus Cousins. So I don't know, man. Maybe I'm just too anti-Cousins, but to me, it's just he's too much of a knucklehead, too much of a question mark, too crazy.
I didn't know you were such a chemistry guy, but see, I hear you.
I'm not like this huge, like, you have to love everyone type of guy. But I am the type of guy that if your best player is an asshole, that can screw things up. Like, imagine if Kevin Garnett was an asshole. That 2008 team doesn't come close to winning the title. He lifted them up. Cousins has torn teams apart. And obviously, they've been bad teams in a completely unstable franchise with some... I mean, and they don't... The Kings do nothing right. They have done nothing right. They have done nothing to help DeMarcus Cousins. I will give him that. I said he's gotten more excuses, and now I'm giving him an excuse. More excuses myself, but I've kind of been a hypocrite today. But
yeah, you're playing both sides of the fence here, Jay King. I know it's been a long day, but...
I really am, but...
You got to get some hotter takes.
Yeah, I don't know. The DeMarcus Cousins thing, he just bugs me too. Like...
You just don't like his face. There's something about DeMarcus Cousins that just doesn't sit well with you, and we can't put a finger on it, but you just really, you don't like him.
It's not that I don't like. I just think it's he unravels so easily. Like, how many times has he just playing the Celtics? They play the Celtics twice a year, and he's unraveled almost every time. It's like every time he's whining and he's bitching and he's going off on a tantrum, and it's like, do you really want that? Do you? It's, I don't know, man. But then again, he's a 25-12 guy. The Celtics need that. I could have an argument with myself about
you
this
could
one
for a long you. Time. We just spent, what, like 8 minutes on a DeMarcus Cousins, which we started saying was not a story and was not coming from anything legitimate. That's good stuff.
That's why you come to the Locked On Celtics podcast, man. Speaking of which, subscribe to us. Give us 5 stars. Tell us what you like. Use the hashtag RainandJays on Twitter. Tell us what you like, what you don't like. Give us feedback. Send us questions. Send us Photoshop. Send us everything. Send us love letters if you want. Send us gifts. Give us gifts.
Yeah, just give us things. Just do whatever you want. Just be nice to us is what we're basically asking.
Yeah, we will try to be nice too. We'll move on from DeMarcus Cousins, even though I could argue about.
Let's talk about another unsubstantiated rumor.
All day. we're going to another unsubstantiated rumor. You can tell it's the end of preseason because. There's only so much you can learn from preseason. Like, okay, yeah, Al Horford's great. And the Celtics starters look much better. And Terry Rozier and Marcus Smart are sharing ball handling responsibilities. Like, there's nothing we've learned from the last 2 preseason games. And I don't think there's anything we're going to learn in the finale. I'm ready for real games to start. 7 preseason games is way too many. So instead, we're talking about LaMarcus Aldridge, who... According to ESPN's, she still works for ESPN. ESPN's Jackie McMullen. She was on Comcast Sports Network and said that her sources tell her LaMarcus Aldridge may not stay in San Antonio through the season. Now, I'll ask you this question for the second time. Would you like LaMarcus Aldridge on the Celtics?
Sure, why not? I think it really depends on what you would have to give up for him. I'm not giving out like a lot for LaMarcus Aldridge. He's a very good player, but I feel like he's kind of on the backside of his prime and he's not as a great defender. It doesn't fit into what I think the Celtics would be doing defensively in terms of his kind of versatility, but sure, why not? Bring him on down. If he's on a rumor mill, let's put him on the Celtics.
I don't have as strong opinions either way about LaMarcus Aldridge. He is not as good as DeMarcus Cousins. Not as talented, at least.
He's a very solid offensive power forward who has a very good mid-range shot and some decent post moves, but like, I don't know if the Celtics need him if they're going to like really take the next step. I don't know if that really puts them into any sort of championship level.
Yeah, I mean, perfect addition would be scoring wing, I think. Right? Like, Kevin Durant would have been the absolute perfect addition in every way. But those guys, I don't think there's any scoring wing out there. Maybe Paul George in a couple of years, who knows?
Gordon Hayward, maybe next summer?
Gordon Hayward, there you go. But he's not that level star, and I don't think LaMarcus Aldridge is either. That would
no.
take the Celtics.
And win. Apparently, when Jackie Mack was asked if the Celtics should go after him, she said something along the lines of, not with what I'm hearing, so maybe there's some weird underground personality stuff along the line of DeMarcus Cousins that we just don't know about.
Well, there were some weird stories when he left Portland. And
yeah, he's a real sensitive dude. Apparently he like really got upset that Damian Lillard was on some billboards and he wasn't.
Yeah, come on, man. Who cares? Who the hell cares who gets the credit? Damian Lillard's helping you win, you should be happy about it. And you got plenty of shine.
You don't see me upset when you and John are on the local billboards. It's just like I see it. It's fine. I accept it.
Yeah, we're on so many local billboards. I feel like I'm a little fired up today. It's been a long day. I didn't get too much sleep. I was at Celtics practice. I went to the Celtics Shamrock Foundation event. And it's been a long day. So,
well, let's talk about the gala. I want to hear about the gala. Let's
definitely talk about the gala. Let's
hold on. First question. I'm gonna take the reins here and interview you.
Please.
Did you wear a tuxedo?
I did wear a tie. And
I've never seen you with a tie.
Yeah, all the other reporters. Gary Washburn took a picture of me because he didn't believe that it was me wearing a tie. I'm not a tie guy. As we've gone over before, I'm a hoodie guy, but I wore a tie and I looked great. And I definitely looked better than a couple of the Celtics, at least, I'll say.
A couple of the Celtics. Okay, first question is, who was the best-dressed reporter? And hold on, before you answer, I'm going to guess it was Gary Washburn.
Wash always wears the suit, or at least...
Yeah, so he always has a good classic look to him.
I'll give Wash that credit. I think Wash was the one. He had a fresh suit on.
Worst dress reporter.
Brian Robb, man. Brian Robb.
B-Robb.
Sorry, B-Robb. Yeah, B-Robb was wearing... I mean, he was wearing a button-down. He was looking fine, but he just wasn't at the level. Not at the gala level. You got to step your shit up for a gala.
Yeah, man. B-Rob, what is this? B-Rob's like 19th gala? He should know that. That's a rookie mistake. That's something I would have done.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. Let's move on to best dressed Celtic.
Best dressed Celtic. Okay, I have to give this to Demetrius Jackson, who on the inside of his jacket had a picture of his dog.
Ooh, that's custom made stuff right there.
When you put a picture of your dog, so it had a picture of the dog on one side, and then the other side had the picture of the dog's doggy bowl with the dog's name on it. So, yeah, that's...
Oh, I'm looking at it now. You tweeted it out if anyone wants to look at it. It's... That's next level.
Slash by J King. At by J King is my handle. Go check it out. Follow me if you don't already. You probably do if you're listening to this.
That's kind of cartoonish. That's an absurd dog photo. I'm out on that one. I'm not a fan, but you were there. You saw it in person, so you know it's power.
Dog on his suit. You've got to respect the man for that.
Now the timeline, my Twitter timeline's flipping out because Terry Rozier was wearing some Stunner shades, and then Danny Ainge apparently took the Stunner shades and pulled them off way better than Terry Rozier. How did they look live in person?
They looked better on Terry Rozier. I'm going to go out on a limb and say that.
Danny Ainge looks like a blind man in this photo.
Yeah, he looks like... He does not look great in Terry Rozier's sunglasses. Let's just put it that way. Another winner of the day. Actually, two winners. Isaiah Thomas and Al Horford. They dressed like all-stars. Like, just simple... Elegant. I don't want to say beautiful, but I'm going to say beautiful. Just they looked sharp.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with calling two men beautiful if they look beautiful. I say go for it.
Those guys looked sharp. They dressed like all-stars. Everybody else dressed like the young kids they are, and those guys are like, yeah, we're grown men. We are all-stars. We are the real deal. So they were winners. Not a winner. Kelly Olynyk, in not at all a stunner, was not the best dressed Celtic. He wore a backwards hat, which he does. Like that is what he does. He was at...
I think it's the only way he can keep his hair out of his face is if he traps it in the hat.
He spoke at a Heroes Among Us event over the summer, and they were honoring like all the local heroes. Like people who save other people's lives, people who start foundations that like cure diseases. And he wore a backwards hat while he was speaking at that, which was amazing. He gave a great speech, though. I will give him that. And yeah, he wore the backwards hat. He had a suit on that Rajon Rondo gave him during his rookie season. And he didn't know that there was a stain on it. and I think he realized there was a stain on it right as he stood in front of the cameras and like tried to wipe it off a little bit.
Oh, that's poor form. I mean, he kind of just looks the part of like a Canadian stoner. And when he showed up in like a mustard stained suit and a backwards hat and a scraggly beard, people are gonna like think he's a Canadian stoner.
A bow tie too.
Oh, a bow tie. That's kind of that. I feel like that goes with the look. Like he's trying to be a little bit funny, but not.
It wrapped it together. I'll give him this. Kelly Olynyk can pull off ridiculous looks because nobody expects him to look anything but ridiculous.
That's like, fair. Low standards is it's great. It's how I've gotten by most of my life.
Me too, man. Me too.
Low standards here on the Locked On Celtics podcast.
Yes. Also, James Young had a jacket that Amir Johnson said he looked like a Mozart. It was he really did. It was like one of those jackets from the 1800s.
I literally am Google image searching Mozart right now, trying to figure out what that means. Was it just like a jacket with a tail, like a?
It had a long tail. We were probably talking. This is probably like the worst podcast material.
Hey, me and John talked about Star Wars for like 12 minutes last night. I feel like in the preseason we have a little more leeway to get off basketball because literally there we could break down Demetrius Jackson pick and roll, but people would like that way worse than this.
Yeah. So the Mozart look, James Young tries to be very fashion. He's like one of those Russell Westbrook type of fashionistas.
Yeah, I feel like he's gonna type of dude who would have showed up in like a mesh jersey cut off like right below his nipples. Yeah.
He goes for the shock value.
Yeah.
He's
it's gonna be sad when he's cut and we're not gonna see his ridiculous outfits anymore in the locker room.
We'll see. I mean, still got one game to prove himself and maybe it's not him. Maybe it's RJ Hunter, maybe it's Jordan Mickey getting traded, maybe it's Gerald Green, who knows? So Danny Ainge has some decisions to make. You guys have decisions to make too. The only decision you should make in your entire life is to listen to the Locked On Celtics podcast. Go subscribe to us on Audioboom, Stitcher, iTunes, wherever else you listen to podcasts. Give us a 5-star rating. We're here for you every day. We give you great and sometimes ridiculous and sometimes, I guess, not so great, probably like when we're trying to describe the fashion of Celtics players.
Whoa. Don't sell us short. I think we did a great job giving you a outfit-by-outfit breakdown of the entire Celtics roster. So if you want a kind of all-encompassing podcast, one that can break down the X's and O's, as well as everything off the court, including stuff that's not even related to the Celtics, you come to the Locked On Celtics podcast with the Raining Jays.
Yep, and that seems like a pretty good place to end. We will give you pick and roll coverage. We will give you X's and O's. We will give you Kelly Olynyk's backwards cap. That's it for today's episode. Thank you for listening to the Locked On Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.